Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Thursday, December 3rd, and for the first time this season, all four of us are here. Luke, how does it feel? First podcast of the new college basketball season.
Feels good to be back with you boys.
Definitely a pleasure
to be back with you boys, and I'm excited to delve into some college basketball talk.
And boys, there are a lot of college basketball to go over. I mean, this was kind of a wild end of the weekend into the start of the next week. A lot of good games, but to start off, we've got a special segment today, and that is we're going to do like a little round the horn here.
Mm-hmm.
What is one team that has pleasantly surprised you this year? Played a little better than maybe you expected them to going into the year and kind of, you know, been a pleasant surprise.
So I can start it off. I'm going to say Michigan State, although they were a top 25 team coming into the nation or into the season, they've kind of exceeded my expectations of where they would be at this point in time, I guess, because losing Cassius Winston, arguably one of the best players, not even arguably, one of the best players in the nation. He's kind of tough to replace, especially point guard, too. It seems like it's always easier to replace a big man than it is to replace a guard, especially in college basketball. But Rocket Watts has, I'm going to agree, he has stepped up to the plate here.
Listen, he's not Cassius Winston, but he has stepped up to the plate. You're absolutely right.
And great defender.
Foster Lawyer has been playing well.
Great defender in Rocket Watts,
by the way. And also, their team is really, really deep. They got a full starting five and bench that can kind of play. They all play the same pretty much. There's no guy that's like no drop-off, I guess, when it goes to the bench. Aaron Henry's been playing quite well.
Tito
has been playing quite well. I think they've exceeded my expectations by a little bit, I'd say.
All right, my pleasantly surprising team so far is Texas. And the reason behind this is Shaka Smart's teams, they have been disappointing in recent years.
They have.
And Texas has gotten off to a very hot start. They've beaten teams like Davidson, Indiana, and most recently UNC on a buzzer beater. And I'm going to point
Matt
out...
That Matt Coleman buzzer beater was Coleman. Insane. Yeah.
He's playing very well for Texas.
For me, I'd probably have to say the San Diego State Aztecs. Losing a player like Malachi Flynn, leader, transferred from the Pac-12 school that led him to such an amazing season last year. Sadly, they did not get to play in the tournament. I thought it was a little bit disrespectful not to rank them, but based on the amount of players they lost and the amount of talent they lost, I guess the AP did not see them as really that competitive of a team. So they come out with the schedule. I'm having to play two top teams in their respective conferences, starting with 22 UCLA, taking it to them by 15, only shooting 39%. What I really like about San Diego State is that they can get boards and they're going to play you physical. And that's really what you have to look at the more mid-major schools when they have to go up against more of the Power 5 conferences. Who can get physical with the big boys from the Power 5? Because the big boys from the mid-majors aren't necessarily the same. So, and I really think that San Diego State's that type of team. Then they go and get a 20-point win against UC Irvine, who's also projected to finish. Projected to finish at the top of their conference. Mind you, they won 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament against Kansas State, I believe it was. And I think that they're going to keep it rolling. And they got Arizona State coming up here. That's going to be a big statement game for them if they can win that.
Indeed. They can win that, yeah. They're kind of a new identity team this year, losing Malachi Flynn.
I thought they were not even on my radar after losing Malachi Flynn. And they have
certain say for Mitchell, most people.
Yes,
Matt Mitchell. To the plate, and they're a very well-rounded team and well-coached.
Yeah. I mean, upcoming schedule for them, they got Arizona State, BYU, and St. Mary's. So if they can win two out of those three, I think that
those are some unathletic teams on the docket for them.
Arizona State.
not Arizona State, obviously.
St. Mary's, quite unathletic.
St. Mary's might be the most unathletic. My team that's pleasantly surprised me, I love Alex's choice of Texas. I mean, going into the year, I was like, ooh, Shaka Smart's team rated number 19 in the country at the start of the year. That seems a little bold. They've played really well. Yep. Shaka seems to have his guys in control. Their defense is great. But a team I wanted to point out, mid-major, is Western Kentucky. Luke, you're kind of like the conference guy. Are they in Conference USA?
They're in Conference USA.
Yes. Not normally a great conference, but Western Kentucky's looking good. They have two losses on the year. Don't let that fool you. They're the good teams. Yes. West Virginia, Louisville, those are good losses for a mid-major. They have Charles Bassey. He's still there. He is just dominant. He's huge.
He's a top player in the nation, kind of. I mean, he was on the Naismith preseason watch list.
Was he really?
He was.
So they have him, and they play with passion. Like, they'll hound you all game. They've got a lot of heart. I think they're one of the teams that's pleasantly surprised me, and it's a mid-major shout-out.
I agree.
That's definitely the mid-major surprise of the year so far. Yeah. For sure.
100%. Oh, I would contest and say the Spideys of Richmond.
I would say the Spideys.
I think Richmond had more hype going into the year, though. Richmond was expected to be good.
I'm going to say I'm not surprised with how Richmond is playing right now. I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised, but not like, wow, like, holy cow, this team is incredible. It was kind of expected going into the season, I would say.
So where did we leave off last podcast? Was it Friday?
Friday,
November 27th. Yeah, so we'll start off recapping the games on Saturday, correct?
Correct, so, one I think that we need to highlight, a big match between two unranked teams in LSU going on the road to St. Louis. Now, I think SEC is going to be a pretty decent conference this year, and the Billikens get it done at home, winning 85-81. I think that that's a big win for them. I think that St. Louis's team are going to have to watch out for down the stretch.
I think so, too. St. Louis looks good. They're always good at home, too.
They are very good at home. They might be the team to beat in the A-10, them or the Spideys. It's really it's a two-man race, I would say, in the A-10.
I agree, but that's not to say that the rest of the A-10 is bad.
Correct.
Rhode Island's had a tough start of their schedule, and they've still looked pretty good to me.
And Dayton is not, like, all of a sudden a nobody.
Correct.
They still have Jalen Crutcher.
They pretty much have
all their supporting pieces that were around Obi Toppin. So they're not a team to just completely throw out the window.
But good win for SLU. A-10 looking good.
A-10 really good, yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis can shoot the ball, too. Like I said, 55% from the field with an SEC team coming in right away. That's a statement right there to me. And then here's a big upset Saturday. Virginia Tech over number 3 Villanova on the road. 81-73, overtime game.
I consider Virginia Tech for my pleasantly surprising team. And the reason that they're this good, and you guys can disagree with me here, but Mike Young, in his second year coaching for them, remember, he was the old coach of Wofford when they were a 7 seed in March Madness with Fletcher McGee and all those boys.
And almost got it done against Kentucky.
They got it done in the first round against Seton Hall, almost upset Kentucky in the second round. Mike Young's a fantastic coach. He gets his players to buy in. He's the key to Virginia Tech, and if they make some noise this year, it'll be all on account of him.
Let's talk about Nova for a second. Their offense looked so stagnant. They couldn't get anything going. They were just isoing Colin Gillespie. They couldn't really get Robinson Earl going. And they're not a deep team.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say the reason for that is because they're not a deep team. They're kind of a 5-man team.
Yep.
And once they have to go to the bench, it's a huge, huge issue.
They only have one person as of right now that comes off the bench and plays consistent minutes, and that's Cole Swider.
That's not good. Have a 6-man rotation is not going to get it done. You need 7 or 8, I'd say.
Yep.
And Alex, as somebody watching this game, you think Virginia Tech should have won this in regulation probably.
Yeah,
if it weren't for the great coaching from
Jay Wright pulled a little Brad Davison in Wisconsin play on the inbound where he set a little screen and he ran him over, got a foul call, and Justin Moore went to the line, hit 2 big free throws to force OT. And then Virginia Tech was just lights out in OT.
They just pulled through. What do you got to say? Classic Mike Young
team. They deserve to win that game.
Very well coached team.
Disciplined.
And another very well coached team, obviously, Tom Izzo and the Spartans. Get it done at home convincingly against Notre Dame, number 13 in the nation. Michigan State shocked me with this one. I knew that they would end up pulling away, but they really started to dominate towards the end of the first half and really never looked back from there.
How's your Fighting Irish this year, Luke? You were always kind of a big fan of them last year.
I mean, they pretty much only have Prentice Hub this year, so not too high on him. And Prentice Hub takes 22 shots a game, so he's going to struggle when he's the focal point of an offense. That's just not the role that he fits into.
I'm pretty sure last year I said that Mike Bray needs to be fired. He still needs to be fired. He's still there.
You did say that.
Agreed. Recruiting to Notre Dame should not be that difficult.
Yeah.
Football is no problem.
Yeah.
Clearly.
But let's talk about Michigan State. I mean, the depth of this team
is incredible.
Losing Cassius Winston, losing Xavier Tillman, next man up mentality by the great Tom Izzo.
Is Rocket Watts officially starting? Did he start that game?
He did not start that game.
He started against Duke, though.
But okay, I was going to say, Izzo needed to get on that because Rocket Watts needs to be starting.
He came off the bench, 13 points, 6 assists. I think Izzo wanted to ease him into the starting lineup more because, honestly, if I'm a coach, Rocket Watts probably going to get the same amount of minutes if he's a starter or a backup. If he comes in with that explosion, and that's what happened in this game.
I don't know, because Rocket Watts, his personality, he comes in with explosion all the time.
Yeah,
he's like
what?
A firecracker out there.
Yeah,
I like firecracker starting on my team.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I'm trying to get the rationale behind Izzo. I mean, Rocket Watts, this game was tied around it was tied at 25s later in the first half. Rocket Watts comes in, kind of lights it off. He finishes with 13 points and 6 assists.
Michigan State has one of the best front courts in the country. They are incredibly deep. They have Joey Hauser, Malik Hall coming off the bench, Marcus Bingham, and Gabe Brown. It's just a very deep, very well-rounded team.
It is indeed, yeah. They're a deep team, and I think that's going to really, really benefit them when it comes down to it, and in the tight games too, because their starters and better players will be more refreshed, I guess.
And even with Tillman and Winston leaving, can't say enough about Joshua Langford coming back. He's going to be a leader on this team. He's not looking like his normal self yet.
What was he out with last year again?
It was some sort of leg injury.
Yeah, I was going to say broken leg, torn ACL, something like that.
It was not pretty. But coming back, he's going to be a big senior leader on this team. So this team has the leadership to do it, I think. And they're definitely going to be a scary team to watch out for. I think definitely Iowa and Wisconsin's number one contender in the Big Ten. And Illinois, obviously.
Big Ten is just stacked. Incredibly deep. I've never seen a Big Ten basketball.
Four top 10 teams.
That's insane. That is insane. From a Big Ten. Normally
and
expect
if,
that.
And if Illinois won the other day, it would be four top five teams. But or
wait, what? Matt, you're doing math wrong.
I'm doing math
It'd
wrong.
It'd be three.
Three.
But Michigan State could have snuck their way in there if the Zags lost or if Illinois won.
You think so?
Well, I don't think Zags. What are they at right now? Much. They're at like seven right now, right? Or six or seven?
I think they're eighth.
I think eight.
I don't know if they would have dropped Zags for losing
no.
that game.
They lost
There's
to
no
West
way.
Virginia. West Virginia was a, would have been.
But Michigan State had a big win over Duke at the same time, so they'd probably hop up.
Regardless, doesn't matter.
But then we get into Sunday's games. Another big upset. Richmond goes on the road. To Big Blue Nation. Number 10, Kentucky goes down at home. One assist the entire second half for Kentucky.
How much did Richmond win by?
76-64.
And here's the scary thing. They did not even play anywhere near their potential. They're a way better three-point shooting team than they showed that game.
28%
at least in my
from
opinion.
Three.
28% from three. Seemed like they were kind of clanking them. If they could have got a few more to drop, like I feel like they normally will, they would have won by a lot more.
Better than Kentucky, you should have 0% from three going 0
for 10. Okay, that is a tough scene. You hate to see that.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Once again, Richmond, we pointed them out. Watch out for them in the A-10 this year.
But again, they're a good team in terms of moving the ball around. 15-5 on assists. Even though Kentucky out-rebounded them 54-31, it takes a team. It's not really just the individuals there. And by the way, amazing behind-the-back pass. As he was going out of bounds to save it. Did you
I
guys
saw
see that.
That was incredible. He just, like, freaking chucked that thing.
Yep, and then we got some more ranked action going on. 18 Arizona State takes care of business. Remy Martin. Thoughts on Remy Martin this year so far?
I would say he was in the preseason All-American first team. I don't think he's played that way so far.
His first game he did.
First game, second game, he dropped
second
absolute
game,
egg.
But who'd they play?
He had 5 points against what team was that?
It was a ranked team.
It was a ranked team, but still, like,
was it Nova?
I think it was, yes, it was Nova. It was Nova locked him up.
5 points.
They basically, Nova's mindset going into that game is beat us with anybody other than Remy Martin, and Arizona State didn't. So I'm not willing to say he's like out of that conversation yet.
I think he's played quite subpar to expectations coming into this year.
I don't know. That's a bold take after four games. I'm gonna give him one more.
So
time.
Far.
Number 24, Rutgers wins at the rack at home, 70-56 over Hofstra. I say this because they're 3-0 at the rack to start the year. But will it be different this season without the fans at the rack once they get into Big Ten play?
All I know is that they're operating without Geo Baker right now, and they still look good.
Well, Ron Harper, I feel like he's been there forever, to be honest, just watching Big Ten.
He really has. I agree with that, actually.
But they're getting easy wins, double-digit 15-20 point wins.
Mm-hmm.
Without Joe Baker, just wait till he's back and healthy. That's all I'm saying.
We got number 14 Texas Tech headed on the road to 17 Houston, 64-53 Houston.
This was a huge.
Yeah, you kind of like both these teams.
I love both of these teams. And coming into this, in the first half, I'm pretty sure Houston was up by like 20 something plus. Like they were up by like 25 something like that. TTU closed the gap going into half. And then TTU won the second half. But Houston's guard play is just, like, I think I've probably talked about it a little bit too much. But they're incredible. Quinn Grimes is finally coming into his form, I guess, after transferring from Kansas.
I think
he's
a key for Houston.
It's him and Marcus Sasser. Marcus Sasser is definitely the best player on that team.
I agree.
But Quentin Grimes is...
If Quentin Grimes can be hitting his shots,
I agree. Like, the past 2 years, or was it 1 year? Was it just last year that he transferred?
Yeah,
I think it was last year.
Just last year. So, last year he did not play particularly well, especially transferring from Kansas. He had high expectations, but Houston's guard plays, it's incredible. And I love watching guard play sometimes.
You want to know a fun fact about that game? Houston didn't make a field goal for the final 12 minutes of the game, and they still won by double digits.
Yeah, I was about to say,
both teams shot
under 40%. Not looking
too
hot.
Was it a slow bros basketball game out there?
I mean,
not in the first half. Houston was firing in the first half.
They're both two very good defensive
players. Did they just put it on cruise control or what? Like,
I don't know. They
really
still scored 27 in the second half.
Even in the year Texas Tech made their run to the finals in March Madness, they were a defensive team. That was kind of the
oriented,
point.
Yeah.
Defensive oriented.
It's kind of how Chris Beard operates.
Texas Tech only having two people in double figures, something to note as well. So
And then got more ranked teams playing that. Say Baylor takes care of Washington by over 30 points at home. I think Baylor's the best team in the nation. I think they're better than the Zags.
I disagree. Zags for
I
me.
I disagree.
But Zags for me.
I disagree. Both those it's teams, early. Though, it's are early, very though. Deep. It's early.
I would love to deep. Watch them play right now.
I think the athleticism. Yes. I think the athleticism of Baylor would just be too much for Zags to overcome.
Do they play the Zags this year?
I don't bet think they so. Do. The Zags. No, Iowa's got the Zags. That's 1-3. That's coming up. But then Michigan fell out of the rankings after beating Oakland in overtime by 10 points.
This is the they're team, at 25.
That was slightly embarrassing.
Oakland, I think, is the team that Xavier scored 30 straight on or something like that. Yeah. In the first game, they won like 110-50. So that's the note. So
I actually...
But Oakland is from the state of Michigan. Are we buying into the Michigan rivalry?
It's not, Michigan it's not from Michigan.
No, no, it is. Oakland College. It's not from like the Oakland, city of the Oakland city. In California. It's like in Michigan.
Oh. Are we serious
I'm
about this?
Pretty really? Damn sure.
Really? I did not know that.
Really?
I mean, you guys can feel free to fact check me, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, I did not know that.
I like this Michigan team going forward, though. They're still trying to figure things out. They have, like, four transfers that they've been trying to put together. And they've definitely been looking good a lot. Or looking a lot better as of late.
Isaiah Livers, the man. The key to the
and
team.
He's back and healthy.
He's back.
And Charlie's Virginia Tech got an easy one at the end of the day. And then moving on to Monday, we have the Maui Jim Invitational.
My favorite tournament, obviously aside from, like, the big tournament at the end of the year, March Madness. Aside from that, my favorite tournament of the year. Because you know what the Maui Invitational signals, Luke.
Bill Walton.
Bill Walton is
the beginning of the
back.
Rain. The
it's
rain of
the beginning of the rain of Walton. And oh my God, was he in full force.
This is the best. I would argue this is the best Walton has ever.
This is peak Walton.
This is peak Walton. And like we always thought peak Walton before this. But this I is mean, just, he's taken it to a whole new
when
level.
When you tune into the game and you hear him talking about Sequoia National Park. And you hear him barking like a dog. Saying, ruff, ruff, give me some food, will you, big guy? And then when some guy goes up for layup and he says, look at him, participating in the celebration of life. Like, you just know you're home. You listen to Bill Walton.
Bill Walton never disappoints.
He never does. He's pure entertainment.
And these games not being played in Maui this year, obviously because of COVID issues, so they've been playing them in Asheville, North Carolina.
And
a
Bill
long,
Walton
a long ways away.
Was still wearing his Hawaiian shirt, sunglasses, and lay.
Love the spirit. Love the spirit. Anyway, getting into the games from it. 17 Texas. Played Davidson. Davidson gave him a really tough fight. Davidson had a couple chances to win at the end. They had a really good look at the end, but it was completely bricked.
Yes. I think their last two shots were just about like some of the worst shots.
The first one was bad shot selection. The second one, he had a ball fake, and he had...
It was a deep three. Like,
but he was
fading away,
he was
think,
open.
Too.
He was open.
Still, they were bad shots.
He didn't need to fade away was the problem.
Exactly.
I didn't get it.
It was a bad shot.
It was... It shouldn't have been a bad shot.
It definitely shouldn't have.
He made it happen. But Shaka Smart, as the hair grows, the team grows. That's
indeed, they're undefeated in Shaka with hair era.
I don't, honestly, they should go undefeated.
He should never cut it.
He should never cut his hair.
Magical powers.
Magic. And I don't think it was Walton, but someone announced their address that Shaka Smart has left the Brotherhood of Bald People or something.
No,
like
I heard
that.
About that, yeah.
Something like that.
But with less games going on this year, because of COVID issues, this is where mid-major teams, and A-10's kind of a mid-major, they're kind of getting into the into what I would like to call a Power 8.
Kind of like an AAC sort of.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But got to make these statement wins if you really want to get in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at a bubble team at the end of the year that's gone and beaten teams like Illinois or Rutgers or teams like that in the Big Ten or in the ACC, somebody goes and beats Duke or North Carolina, I would be a lot more inclined, and so would the people who decide who gets in the committee to take the Power 5 team over any of the mid-major teams. So leaving points on the board here, not a good look. But Indiana gets it done at Providence. I'll take my $5 on that one, Alex.
Yep. Not
small
a,
Indiana covers with flying colors covering the spread. Projected
Indiana
to win by what,
really
4
good.
Points, and they won by 21.
I'll make a note, Race Thompson. He was hurt the majority of last season. He only played 4 games.
He looked great.
And in this one, he played incredible. 22 points, 13 rebounds.
I mean, it looks like he's hit the gym, too.
Yeah.
If you saw
his body transformations.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I saw that, yeah.
He got big.
Trace Jackson Davis did struggle this game, but I think this Indiana team has a lot of parts. If they can, hopefully they can figure it out going down the stretch, but if they can't figure it out, then they're going to lay duds like they would in their next game.
We'll see what they can do in the loaded Big Ten.
Yeah, absolutely.
Might be tough for them to make some noise.
And then the Johnnies beat Boston College. Boston College, I only say this because Boston College gave Nova, I believe,
yes,
a lot of trouble at first.
A lot of trouble.
So by transitive property, could the Johnnies give Nova trouble? They've done it in the past. Let's go to our Big East expert over here, Alex.
You know, this Johnnies team is very new. They got a lot of transfers, a lot of freshmen. One freshman to take note of is Pasha Alexander.
What a name.
He's pretty small guard. He had 18 points and shot 7 of 11 from the floor. I don't think the Johnnies are going to be as spooky as they were last year.
So I'm getting that the St. John's is not going to give Villanova a run, but could St. Joe's? Interesting, right?
they play coming up. Actually, their game might have gotten postponed. I'm not sure on that.
I think that's fine because if it stays within a
15-point win, stays within 15 points, then it comes as a rivalry game, I guess.
And then the last Maui game of the day was Stanford and Alabama. Stanford took care of business by a score of 82-64. Stanford actually looked a lot better than I thought.
Stanford looked okay.
But then you move on to Tuesday's games,
and you get Texas defeating Indiana by 22 points. This kind of Indiana.
Texas's defense is
good. I don't know how Indiana, when I looked at this score, I was actually pretty disappointed to see it because I loved the way Indiana was playing basketball.
I don't know. That's the biggest day-to-day like transformation of a team that can possibly happen.
I sat down because of Bill Walton. I watched this entire game. So ask me anything, basically. But what I got out of this game is that Texas's defense this year kind of looks like Shaka's old defenses at VCU. Do you remember those defenses?
Yes.
They were like West Virginia. They'd hound you all game. They'd press you the entire time.
Athletic.
This team didn't necessarily press like that, I wouldn't say. But they still hounded you when you got to half court. And that could be a really good sign
for
Texas.
They caused a lot of problems for Indiana's backcourt. Yep. Rob Finney and Al Durham really struggled in this one.
Yeah, I mean, you watch the game. Indiana, the game that they won over Providence convincingly, they really moved the ball well. Good movement off the ball. Were they stagnant, or was it more Texas defense?
It was stagnant, and it was a lot of Trace Jackson Davis just driving to the lane, hoping to draw a foul call.
That's not going to work for him. They tried it the first game. He went 5-for-15. You have to get Trace Jackson Davis in an offense where they're moving a lot more. I mean, shooting 24% from the field for Indiana, that's not a winning formula.
Nope. That'll never work, ever.
And it's not like it was a bad, necessarily, shooting day. I mean, it probably was, but I'm going to credit that more to Texas's defense than bad shooting.
I would as well, yep. I definitely would. Texas is looking good this year.
Then USC gets a win against BYU. USC, I think they're kind of spooky in the Pac-12 this year.
Conference of champions.
They've been playing good basketball.
Evan Mobley's insane. He is a phenomenal defender.
I mean, they got the offense. They got the shooting. Even losing, they lost the Big O, which kind of a hit.
And then they replaced him with a top 5 recruit.
Yep. Exactly.
So they're just cycling.
Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Duke, UNC, and Kentucky, and Kansas.
And when we said Stanford playing decent basketball, we're referring more to the game today, on Tuesday, we're talking about in the Maui gym. 14 North Carolina escapes by 4 points. And Stanford led most of this game.
They did.
Gave it up at the end.
They did.
One thing I noticed from this game, so Caleb Love, you kind of like him on North Carolina.
I was just a name to point out.
All I wanted to point out is that, so Bill Walton was drinking like a smoothie called Chocolate Peanut Butter Love or something like that, and he noticed that it had Love in it, and Caleb Love's last name was Love. So he proceeded to call Caleb Love Chocolate Peanut Butter Love the whole rest of the game. Just wanted to point that out. It was very weird. It took a while to catch up.
But a classic Walton.
It's a classic Walton.
He's like a reverse, like three times around the block joke that just takes you like forever to think about. You're like, wow, that was incredible then. And then you get it, and it's just even better.
Then Western Kentucky, spooky team, goes on the road to Louisville, gets absolutely obliterated by the Cardinals. I like Louisville this year. They're an athletic team. They shoot the ball pretty well.
I don't know much about them. I know they lost Jordan.
They had a few transfers. They have a few. I think it's grad transfers. So like they graduated from their college and transferred. I think there's one from Radford and there's one from a California school. I don't remember which one. But there are two guards that transferred that are kind of some key pieces for them. But they also have like a mediocre, kind of decent freshman recruiting class. A lot of freshman seat time for Louisville. That's the key. They're kind of a young team, so just got to watch out for that.
I mean, they shared the basketball, too. And in the past, we've known when Louisville struggles, they don't share the basketball. 16 assists. This
couldn't have said it better.
Playing a lot better ball. So I think that they do beat Kentucky this year. If they keep playing when they're sharing the rock and Kentucky's just stagnant, I think that that game could get ugly for Big Blue Nation over there.
We'll see. I think Oklahoma State Marquette is the next game to highlight.
Alex.
Alex, buddy.
Little in-house team.
You know, Cade Cunningham.
Cade Cunningham had a quiet 15 points. He's not the main reason that Marquette lost this game.
Mm-hmm. What was?
Their bench. They had this transfer who was an absolute sniper. What was his name? Rondell Walker. He had 16 points coming off the bench. He hit three threes, and yeah, that was a difference. Marquette's offense. It's garbage. Lost without Marcus.
Garbage. Clark. Absolute garbage. Lost.
But what about Theo John, though? He's been Mr. Efficient out there, hasn't he?
Theo John, 2-for-2 on threes this year, and I believe he shot 54% from the line last year, and he's like 13-of-15 this year. So
wow.
That's a great sign.
He's just been hitting the grindstone.
It's a great
sign. He's just been practicing that free throw.
Yep, something Badger fans wish Ethan Happ would have done. But he could never figure it out.
Then after Davidson shows a promising effort against Texas the day before, they flop and lose to Providence 63-62, who looked awful against
Ed
Indiana.
Cooley.
I mean,
the Friars.
That is all.
Davidson really needed like one win at the Maui Invitational in these first two games, and they didn't get it.
Nope.
Providence projected to finish third in the Big East. I think that tells you all it needs to tell you about the Big East, though, to be honest, for this year.
Very down here.
Hey, the Big East was great last year. You had your year.
Creighton's flying under the radar, though. They haven't played anyone very good yet, but they're a top 10 team.
If they would have somehow kept Tyshawn Alexander, they're a top 5 team easily, which is
easily.
Which, and I would have loved to have been a Creighton supporter, but
yeah,
too bad, so sad.
Then we got the final two really important games: the State Farm Champions Classic, 8 Michigan State. Playing number 6 Duke at Cameron Indoor.
The rise of Michigan State.
Izzo finally gets his first win against Duke.
Really?
Second win.
No, it was his first
win.
No.
Because he beat them in the Elite Eight 2 years ago. Remember?
First regular season win. First regular season win.
Okay.
You're right.
I got you there, bud.
They did beat them. But
still, though.
But yeah, Duke has always kind of had Izzo's number.
Especially early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a... I think it's a sign of things to come for Michigan State.
Yeah, solid game for Rocket Watts.
The Stonks are big up right now, I think, for Michigan State. How did
Foster Lawyer play that game? Do we know?
He had 5 points off the bench.
Okay.
I mean, they do play. They have a 10-man
rotation. Rocket Watts dropped 20 that game.
That's what I'm saying. Rocket Watts had a good game.
Joey Hauser, transfer from Marquette, dropped a double-double.
Joey Hauser is turned into Andre Drummond with a jumper. He's a rebounding machine
somehow.
So I don't know. Like he was not. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was not a big rebounder at Marquette.
No, he's not athletic whatsoever. I don't know how he's getting these rebounds.
Dudes, are they lucky boys or is he just fighting in the?
And game? Malik Hall off the bench also had a double double. So really, the front court of Michigan State, like Alex was saying, really, really impressive. And then we have 7 Kansas taking on number 20 Kentucky, and Kansas gets the job done against, I believe, an overrated John Calipari squad.
Yeah, Kentucky's really, really young. But one thing I noticed is that they're really tall. I think, like, the shortest
starter... They're lanky.
The shortest starter on their team's, like, 6'7".
That sounds right. Yeah, they're a lanky team. They're a lanky team. Also, important to note, Kentucky is under 500. 1-2. That's insane.
Shout out Richmond. Also, credit to Kentucky. They always play really tough preseason schedules usually.
So do a lot of teams, though.
Gonzaga?
I would say Zags always play the toughest. Kentucky
yes,
plays pretty tough.
Yes, because they have to.
Yes,
but when was
Zags
the last time Kentucky was under 500? That's a good point.
I mean,
that's not fair, though, when they're 1-2. That's just not a fair thing to say. I'm sorry. Unless they go full on North Carolina and go like
10-14, 14-20
or something. Yeah. Like,
I mean, they scheduled Richmond. They got Kansas, Notre Dame at home, which isn't that great, but it's still a Power 5 team. And then they got UCLA and Louisville back to back. So I mean,
oh, that actually is pretty tough. They might stay under 500 for a little bit.
That's
wouldn't that be funny?
Not an ideal schedule to play. And when we get into day 3, Wednesday, December 2nd, the Maui Invitational, got Indiana taking on Stanford, and Indiana wins by 16 points.
Indiana's an absolute pinball machine. They are all over the place.
Do we want to just credit their loss to Texas just for Texas being really good?
But they I think Indiana had an off day. I think Indiana was riding high off their win and was not prepared to play such a good Shaka Smart team.
Quite possible.
Fair.
But Trace Jackson Davis looked a lot better this game. Again, when you get more ball movement.
He was playing quite well.
Yes. And more off-ball movement.
Yeah, what I don't like is when Indiana goes full-on Trace Jackson Davis ISO mode. I don't like that.
He's not that type of player.
He kind of is, but it's not good for their team. I don't know if he is.
They have a lot of other pieces that can score.
Too. Exactly, they should use them.
I really think Rob Fantasy is an underrated player on this team. Not in his scoring, but in the way that he kind of is a leader on this team after playing with them for a few years. And then we got 17 Texas and 14 North Carolina in the championship. Texas beats North Carolina 69-67.
With the buzzer beater.
Matt Coleman, baby.
Yeah, that was a nice move.
But one thing I noticed about this buzzer beater, with no fans, it did not feel the same. It didn't.
It just felt like a regular shot.
It's a buzzer beater, and then he just starts running, and then you build up to the background like, oh,
yeah, shot. When you think of the iconic buzzer beaters, Jordan Poole, Kemba Walker, Cardiac Kemba.
Yeah, you think of people going nuts. And going like, nuts. It was sad to see
Jesperson from UNI.
UNI, yeah.
But obviously you can't put that on Matt Coleman. It was a great buzzer beater. And once again, we don't want to beat a dead horse here, but Texas.
Wesley, you're normally a big North Carolina supporter. What are your thoughts on North Carolina this year?
You're a mediocre North Carolina.
Yeah, I would say so.
More so than the rest of us.
No, last year you were on them at the beginning of the season. For sure.
Caleb Love. Caleb Love has not been playing well.
Chocolate peanut butter love.
He has not lived up to hype. I think they're going back-to-back years. Cole Anthony played mediocre, although that team wasn't even that bad, like, on paper. Like, recruit and stats-wise, that team last year.
It was an anomaly.
So you're going to blame it on Roy Williams? Or
I think Roy Williams. Low-key, yes.
He did not coach very well last year.
Roy Williams.
He just gave up.
He gave up, which is sad. And this year, it's not continuing, but, like, this game, winning close games is really important as a coach.
Last year it was, like, third and 10, and Roy Williams just said, you know what, I'm going to punt. Like, I'm done.
This year,
he better not punt. That's all I gotta say.
Better not punt, because that'd be a really, really big hit on, like, him as and his reputation and, like, his past achievements, which would be bad. But
another buzzer beater. VCU goes on the road to Penn State again. This is a mid-major team trying to get a decent signature win on the road at Penn State.
Yeah,
Penn State hits a good buzzer beater at the end from deep.
Miles Dredd. I just think that's the coolest name.
He's Miles Dredd. He's really the player that's got to step up now that they have Lamar Stevens.
That
was his only bucket he had.
He absolutely stroked it, though.
He did stroke it.
When it matters most.
Credit where credit's due. Yeah, Penn State obviously missing their big two players from last year, Lamar Stevens and the big, tall, lanky man, Mike Watkins.
You were a huge Mike Watkins guy.
He was great.
I remember his name being mentioned hundreds of times.
He was one of the few people that contained Luka Garza a decent amount. So
okay,
and that's
why.
Credit where credit's due.
That's the National Player of the Year. Should have been last year, by the way.
Mike Watkins?
No, Luka Garza.
Okay. No. I thought you were about to say Mike Watkins. So I was going to lose my mind.
No, absolutely not. But then we got some big ranked games going on last night. 11 West Virginia taking on 1 Gonzaga. I really thought West Virginia could have pulled this one out, even though I do like Zags this year.
This was a scary game for Gonzaga.
It was.
Jalen Suggs, I don't know, he was running. His shoe.
What a pussy.
Let's get the story. Jalen Suggs, five-star recruit.
Best recruit Gonzaga's ever brought in.
Looked nice in their first game, too.
He was like an athletic boost that Gonzaga has needed for 6 years, kind of thing. And he's running, his shoe gets like caught just in the narrow, and it slips three times, like it bump, 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 like it was like on a speed bump.
It was a skid.
But it was like bumping up and down like on speed bumps. And like he went down like he just tore his Achilles. And then he's laying on the ground, pulling, there was a lot of buzz.
Was going nuts.
And he pulled his like jersey up over his face, he was like crying, and I'm like, he just tore his Achilles, he's done for the year.
Yeah, that's what everyone
thought. And then we got some medic, and he comes back in. He was jumping around. I'm like,
put a towel over his head for like 10 minutes.
He was bawling.
I know. And then he comes back in. He was jumping around. I'm like, wait, this dude does not have a torn Achilles. What is going on?
Five-star recruit.
Has this guy never like rolled his ankle before in his life?
He definitely hasn't.
The commentators were saying that like he's extremely tough too because he played football before.
You're right. He was going
to
get recruited.
It's like he has to have rolled his ankle at some point in his life. There's no way he hasn't.
Maybe he just had
a case of crybabyitis.
Although, when he did come back out, he was like gimping around. Like he was more or less dragging his leg when he was playing. I don't know how, but it was definitely overreaction.
Luke's got something to say.
I'm not pleased. As somebody that's had two bad knee injuries, if there is something that you get hurt in a game and you have a towel over your eyes, absolutely bawling.
I will vouch for you. I saw when you tore your ACL the second time and you were like, no, dude, I just like dinged up my knee. I was like getting ready to go back in.
That's not a winner mentality. He's a wiener. It's a wiener mentality, not a winner mentality.
I think it's safe to say that he just had a small case of crybabyitis.
A little bit.
He got over
big
it.
Big case. Are you kidding me?
He got over it, and it's good that he came back for the Zags.
But definitely off the bench, important. Alex, you really like Andrew Nembhard off the bench for
the Zags. He's more or less a starter for them. Let it be noted. It's kind of like Rocket
Watts. Yeah, he played 35 minutes. That's more than every single starter.
So Linton Watson gets a start, but
yeah,
they like to run
instead
of 3-4, it's 3 guards.
When the game matters most, he's going to be in. It's not going to
so
be Watson.
He's so explosive.
When they have that 5 on the line and on the floor, healthy Suggs and then numbered off the bench too, this team is incredible. I'm just going to say.
And all I'm saying, West Virginia, given how incredible Gonzaga is, put up a decent fight. I think West Virginia's good this year.
I think West Virginia, their front court is incredible.
West Virginia shut in the nation. They shut down Drew Timmy in the first half. And then Drew Timmy
second
started
half,
getting
Drew
buckets
did,
in
Drew
the second
good.
Half. Yep.
Derek Culver and is it Omar Tshiebwe?
Oscar Tshiebwe.
Thank you.
I learned how to pronounce it.
That.
I thought it was like Tshiebwe.
Oscar Tshiebwe. That's it. Those two. That is a dynamic duo. I think that's the best front court in the nation. I'm gonna say it.
Possibility does indeed exist.
And just gotta point this out because this is absolutely comical. Central Michigan gets beat by 20 points from a D2 team named Flagler. allows 92 points
this
to
Flagler.
This
is giving me Howard vibes, getting beat by a D2 team.
That's ridiculous. Also, you guys see Greenville, that D3 team that averages, when they play D1 teams, giving up 107 points or 175 points per game.
Yeah, Murray State dropped 170.
Yeah, and then they played. I think. And then they played Illinois. And then they played Illinois State.
Like, how do you get up for those games? You're like, all right, guys, let's not give up 175 today.
What do you say
in the locker room?
Let's only lose by 86, not 100.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh.
Like they must have a bunch of Alexes out there on the court.
Bunch of bots.
I don't even know if they're allowing 173 points.
Iowa State loses in lames to South Dakota State. South Dakota State's decent, but Iowa State
is
not
very
it this
bad.
Year.
Nah, it's lames.
Their program's down. Big time down. And then we have big ranked matchup at the end of the night between number two Baylor and
arguably
number 5
the best
Illinois.
Matchup, but you could argue West Virginia Gonzaga.
I don't care.
I don't know. I look forward to this one.
Big,
that's all I'm saying.
A big takeaway from this game, even though Baylor won, Iwu Dosunmu is just the real deal. Like he finds
ways to get buckets.
He's the second best player in the Big Ten behind Luka Garza, in my opinion.
Correct. Yes, I don't think there's any argument. Alex, you argue that.
You
think he's number one?
You think he's number one ahead of a guy who's dropped 30 in the first half in 2 straight games and has
and had
16.
And who have they played?
And he scored 20 plus.
It doesn't matter.
He scored 20 plus last year in 16 straight Big Ten games. 16 straight.
It does not matter who they're playing. Luka Garza is the best
season.
Player.
I'm taking Luka Garza, Alex. As much as I want to side with you on this, I can't.
I had to get out of my chair for that one.
He had to walk out of the room.
I had to walk out of the room. Wow, I was
make a statement.
Appalled. For a little bit there.
But even though this game had no fans, the energy of both teams made it seem like there were some fans.
This is the most energetic game that I have watched up to this point of college basketball. Both benches were 100% bought in.
Nuts.
Especially Baylor's bench when they were on defense.
I feel like Illinois kind of saw Baylor's bench and they're like, shoot, we need to step up our game.
I think like, that Baylor's defense influenced Illinois', but still, it doesn't matter. Both benches were getting into it and there was actually like crowd noise, you could call it. But obviously, it was just the benches. But
Baylor knows how to rebound well. Mm-hmm. They know how to play superb defense.
Exactly.
They locked down Adam Miller and Trent Frazier, too.
Oh, Adam Miller was clamped the entire
game. Listen, he's a freshman.
Entire...
I'm willing to give him a pass.
I know, I agree, but I'm saying like that was a good defense.
And towards the end, Kofi got in foul trouble, which did not help at all. But how about Bishanishvili coming off the bench? He played really well.
Honestly, that's part of the reason why Illinois stayed in the game so long. Is because he had 13 and a half, Georgie Bishanishvili, whatever the hell you say his name.
SpendNed 2.0.
He looks like SpendNed.
Are we willing to create a SpendNed 2.0? By the way, does SpendNed?
He's
still there.
He still plays.
He's the best player on Seton Hall.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's the only reason I'll be watching Seton Hall this year.
But big storyline for Baylor. Big transfer coming from the Presbyterian Blue Hose. Adam
Flagler
was knocking him down.
I thought Flagler was like the D2 school.
They are, but this also this dude's last
year.
Same. Yep, you heard it right. Yep, Flagler.
If you have Flagler in your name, you're primed to have some success. Is the moral of the story?
I think it's fair to note that Baylor can succeed and win big games, obviously, with Jared Butler not playing incredible, which is really important to note because they're an extremely deep team. I would argue them and Michigan State are probably the two deepest teams in the nation, I would argue, for talent-wise and just production as well.
And then 21, Oregon goes down at home to Mizzou. I told you the SEC is a good
Yikers. Is Oregon really 21?
They were.
Yeah.
Or they are.
They were ranked somewhere.
What are your thoughts on Missouri? Because I don't know much about them. And don't you like them this year?
Xavier Pinson's a good player. I don't know how well they're going to fare. I could see them sneaking into being a bubble team.
Wait, but do they still have the postseason ban on them? Or was that only last year?
Believe that was last year.
Ooh, I think it was 1 year.
Thing. I would have said ooh, 2 years if I had to guess.
Does it count if they didn't have a tournament?
That's...
Ooh!
What a question. We should know this for you guys. We apologize.
Yeah. We will be doing some research and letting you guys know.
Anyway, Mizzou, 5 players in double figures. They're going to be playing in a competitive SEC. Kind of got to take that with them back to the SEC, but they can't take with them a 29% three-point percentage. They shot 31 three-pointers.
Scooby-Doo, that's bad.
Shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot.
Yeah, but they did.
Live or die by the three.
They still shot 46% from the field. But
really?
The Pac-12 is just not. The Pac-12 is just not a good conference. I think they're better than the Big East.
Big East is the worst.
How dare you slander the Conference of Champions?
I will slander the Conference of Champions. I've done it before, and I will continue to
do it. I'm kind of always a Pac-12 guy.
And that brings us to tonight. We have had some games already completed. Number 3, Iowa in action tonight. 99-58 over Western Illinois.
They need some competition because they're just running.
Luca Garza with 30 points in the first half again tonight. I think did he have a double-double in the first half, or was he not quite there?
Not quite there. He had 9 rebounds in the first half, then okay. he played five minutes after the half.
He finished with 35 and 10 at the end of the day.
So he barely played in the second half.
Yeah, but this is a big story, too, because last year Iowa had Ryan Kreener, Cordell Pemsel coming off the bench as big men that were serviceable backups.
Kreener the senior. He was so
and
fun.
And Kreener's gone now. Pemsel transferred to Pemsel transferred to Vatek.
Kreener was, like, dirty. He would, like, just foul people.
Oh, give me a break. No.
Kreener was dirty as hell.
Okay, Kreener well, being said, Pemsel transferred to Vatek. Kreener's out.
Good. I did not like Pemsel. He sucked.
But Jack Nungy. Like, third game of the year last year, towards ACL, he was a starter for him last year at the beginning of the year. Now he's back. He played as Garza's backup, played a lot in the paint. 8-for-11 on field goals, 18 points, 2-for-4 from downtown.
That's an important thing to have a backup to Garza.
Yeah.
And then Patrick McCaffrey finished in double figures again.
I don't know why Connor McCaffrey gets so many minutes, but
I can tell you why.
It's
because Connor McCaffrey last year it had the best assist to turnover ratio in the nation. Whoa. I don't know how it happened, but
that's because he only looks to have assists.
He just enters it in the post to Garza, and that's a bucket every single time. So
especially against these crap teams.
Yeah, if you just pass it to Garza in the post against Western Illinois, you are gonna really rack up. You're gonna pad the stats.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But then we have UConn defeating USC in a close one, 61-58.
Tight down to the wire.
Alex, is UConn the sneaky team coming out of the Big East?
They're the sneaky team, but they did not look very good. I think they made one field goal in like a nine-minute stretch today.
How did James Booknight play?
He played well. He started out really hot. He hit like his first three threes. I don't know what he
finished. Yeah, he finished 5-for-15, though.
But he is one of those guys, though. You're absolutely right, Alex. He can catch fire in the middle of a game.
He can have 35. He can have a 35-point game.
They got a lot of people.
No, I don't necessarily know if he can have a 35-point game, but I think he's the kind of guy that can have like 20 points
in the
like
second
half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But he's kind of the key to that team.
He's the player to watch on UConn, for sure.
Charlie's Hokies sneak by Virginia Military Institute, 64-57.
Did Cartier Diarra end up playing at all for them that game or no?
He did not.
Negative. That's really weird.
I think he's got to be injured or some coach discipline because he played very, very valuable minutes against Duke, right?
Because I think the reason he went to Virginia Tech was like a disciplinary thing. I don't think he's the best off the court. But on the court, he's a nice player. I think they need to get Cartier Diarra minutes. Yeah.
A good bench player.
He's a serviceable, 6-7 piece.
Fair to say.
Right now, Florida's up big over Boston College. I'm telling you, the SEC is just strong. They're up 42-24 right now. And I like the Gators this year.
Chomp, chomp.
I'm feeling it. Chomp, chomp. Gator swamp. You already
swamp,
know.
Swamp, swamp. Let's go.
You already know. They got a big transfer
even
from Michigan.
Even after losing Nembhard.
They got a transfer. Colin Castleton from Michigan, who's like 7'1 or something. He was really tall. He played a lot of minutes for Michigan last year. Looked good. Now he's down there.
No Kerry Blackshear at Florida anymore.
No.
what a
bust.
What a bust.
Big bust.
They were number 7 or 6 in the nation.
Six.
They sucked nuts. And Trey Blackshear was like so a
preseason like player of the year.
Yes, oh Luke. Yeah, so Luke called him player of the year.
That's what Jay Billis called him too. It's not only Luke, really.
No. Yeah, I'm with Jay Billis, so I'm in good company whether I'm right or wrong. All right, that's just the way.
Actually, what are you guys' takes on Jay Billis? I like him.
Great analyzer. Like bad at predicting things.
But sometimes he says stuff and it's like. Why? He's a lawyer, and this is why he says it. He says stuff, and it's like, oh, like, it has to be this way. Like, you might, like, he says his opinion, and then he's like, you have to agree with it. And I think that's the lawyer in him, because he's, like, actually a lawyer. But sometimes he just, I don't know, sometimes he pisses me off.
Rubs you the wrong way.
Sometimes. I think he's still a really good, nice guy. Mm-hmm. Couldn't meet a more of a class act than him.
Probably could, but.
Probably maybe. Yeah.
Maybe Bill Walton. He's pretty class act.
Maybe Snoop Dogg, per se.
Snoop Dogg. I don't know, but we'll see.
This brings us into Friday night games tomorrow night. Number 4 Wisconsin at Marquette.
Oh, this could be
gonna be a big blowout. There's nobody on Marquette.
I'm just looking at the line, and somehow Wisconsin's only favored by 3.5.
Yeah, I'll take the over. Where can I bet on this? I will put like
Bovada?
$800.
Not a sponsor.
On the line. On Wisconsin covering.
Wisconsin covering this. I will put my entire bank account on Wisconsin covering this.
Responsibly.
I would as well.
Yeah.
That's come from a Marquette fan.
That's actually
truther.
Insane. I can't. Wisconsin has beat. Obviously, they've played.
Like, in
bad
a normal
teams.
Year, the rationale would be okay, it's at the Fiserv Forum, so at Marquette.
Yep. So
but there's no fans.
But even when there are fans, it's mixed, but Marquette just. They don't have the score this year. Wisconsin has one of the best defenses, if not the best defense.
The most experienced team in the nation.
And
clearly.
Honestly, I don't think. I don't think Marquette scores over 50 this game. I really don't.
Wisconsin's defense was suffocating. What was that one game?
I can see Wisconsin winning.
Blind that they held them.
Pine Bluff.
Yeah, 25-0 in the first 10 minutes or whatever. It was absolutely incredible. A masterpiece of defense. Greg Gard has to be noted that he is a solid coach, but...
Hey, gets it done.
He gets it done. But the talent around him is incredible. This is one of the better freshman recruiting classes Wisconsin's had, honestly.
And they're going to get some time to develop because there's five seniors starting.
Exactly, yeah. But... It's important to have that like freshman off the bench. They have a couple freshmen.
What are the twins? Minutes.
The Davis. Twins? Johnny Davis.
Johnny Davis.
Which
one?
Is a good
one. I had to guard Johnny Davis a few times back in fifth grade and then again in seventh grade. So that was fun.
He is a stud. He's the best freshman.
Not
Luke,
not
you probably just locked him up in fifth grade.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This man.
Let's not tell anyone.
We got beat like 40-12 by them, so it wasn't even close. I did take a charge against Johnny Davis, and that hurt like you would not believe because he was bigger than everybody else.
Only Luke remembers these things. I could ask you what the score of like our third grade like basketball game was, and be like, oh, of course it was 47-35. Like yeah, you just know that stuff.
Well, yeah. I got to remember the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
but we have number 21 Oregon going on the road to Seton Hall. And Oregon's 0-1, Seton Hall's 1-2. I wouldn't be shocked if Seton Hall pulls this off, led by Spedned.
He is averaging about 22 a game.
Spedned is a baller. He's a baller.
I'm rooting for Spedned in this one. Let's go
Let's
Seton
go.
Hall.
Seton Hall all
Let's
day. Seton all day. Hall.
I think everybody's going to be a Seton Hall fan. I love
everybody's Seton Hall. Everybody's picking Seton Hall this game.
Spedned buzzer beater. Are we feeling it?
I think we are.
That would be incredible.
Spednet at the buzzer.
We'd have to come out with a throwback post of just Spednet.
Yep.
So there you have it for our picks for tomorrow night. Take Wisconsin to cover with as much money as you can put down. Like as much as you believe it's fiscally responsible of you.
Yes.
And I would take Seton Hall to cover. Like
obviously this is kind of
because Oregon's
a minor meme pick, but join the fun.
Minor, yeah.
Join the fun.
Join in on
any
the
good
fun.
Games.
And then we move into Saturday. NC State at UConn, two undefeated teams. And NC State, I think
you can't say undefeated until they're at least 6-0.
The game of the day. This needs to be mentioned right now.
Gonzaga Baylor.
This is alarms spinning around Gonzaga Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1-2.
This is going to be incredible.
Gonzaga has Baylor and Iowa coming. That's
every year
conference schedule is always the best.
I would say their out of conference is always two times harder than whatever.
That's
the
why it's
team
not
is.
Okay to slander Zags for their easy conference schedule.
Exactly.
They always they go balls to the
wall.
Yeah,
they've got they've had Kansas, Auburn, West Virginia. Now they got Baylor and Iowa coming up before
that's
they get
like
the conference.
Literally
play.
Four top 10 teams. Like I don't know when people say like, oh, their schedule is too easy and they only have two losses. Well, those two losses were the top 10 teams in the beginning
exactly,
of the year. So like,
yeah.
quit. Barking on their name, like enough. But this
picks
is gonna be
picks
best
for this game.
I'm taking Zags. Bold, but I'm going Zags.
I'm
going
to roll with the Zags as well.
I got Baylor.
I got Baylor solely because Baylor has a lot more experience than the Zags. I think by the end of the year.
I don't know. I would not go as far as say they have more experience than the Zags.
No, Kispert's been there for years.
They got Kispert.
That's a fair point to say.
I don't know. Timmy's a sophomore, Nembhard's, but he's experienced.
I'm getting Baylor vibes this game, Luke. I'm going Baylor.
This is going to be an incredible game. I'm just saying, tune in, please. If you're going to tune into one game during this week, tune in to this game. Please. Mm-hmm. It's going to be incredible. This is the two best teams in the nation, I'd say by far.
The CBS college basketball theme song starts playing, and you'll be hyped by, before the game even starts. just automatically.
Are there any other notable games Saturday? Or?
You've got to tune in. Not really. Saturday, that's pretty much the big one. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, you got 12 Villanova taking on number 17 Texas. Can Villanova kind of creep back into the top 10?
You know, they looked awful against Vatek, and then you got Texas, who's playing incredible.
This is a proving point for Villanova. Are they?
Gillespie's high is a proving point for Texas.
I think for Shaka.
Is Texas for real?
Can outcoach Jay Wright?
And if he can, Texas is for real.
I don't think he can. I think.
Okay, I don't think you can judge who outcoaches who. It's the players are the ones that play.
I think Gillespie plays better than he has this season. Robinson Earl has been playing pretty good, leading the team in both. Averaging points and rebounds. I know Charlie likes Robinson Earl.
I really like Jeremiah Robinson Earl. And that's why I think Villanova wins this game.
I agree. Villanova.
Texas does have a very good defense.
I'm going to roll with Texas here.
But I think if Villanova can shoot well enough, they should win.
I'm going to go with Villanova in this game as well. I think Jay Wright is going to write the shit.
I'm buying in on Texas.
Right to right.
Buying in on Texas.
And I am too, but hey.
And this is a huge
game. You're not
going to
go undefeated, man.
And for all you gamblers out there, right now Nova's favored by 7 over Texas.
Okay, yeah.
Whoa.
I would take Texas to cover that spread a little bit.
Yeah, I would as well. 7?
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Good Lord. Yes. Can somebody explain this to me? What Vegas
Dude,
must
Vegas
be
knows.
On?
I've learned to never slander Vegas because they always know. If you think that there's a spread that's outlandish, more than 50% of the time you bet it, you're wrong. Vegas knows.
Well, Wisconsin Marquette has a smaller line than Texas.
I agree.
Hey, maybe we'll be shocked. Marquette's going to pull in.
Vegas does know, though. That's fair. That's a good point.
Bet responsibly.
Luke would say otherwise, clearly. But
well, with that Wisconsin game, that -3, that's a little bit ridiculous. I mean, come on.
It's a little ridiculous. I would agree.
Got Missouri going to Wichita State. I think Missouri takes care of that one pretty easily.
Anyone can take care of
Wichita
State.
How many transfers left out of Wichita State last
Everybody
year?
Except 3.
Including Greg Marshall.
And then the news came out about Greg
Aaron
Marshall.
Stevenson?
He left.
Yeah. Bot.
Where is he?
Bot.
Where is he?
Forever. I have no idea. But
he's a bot.
Can someone get a quick fact check on that? I want to know where Eric Stevenson was. He was my guy last year.
For some reason, he was your guy.
For the first third of the year, he looked really good.
And then he turned into
absolute
dog food.
What? And Washington just lost to some.
Is he getting? They lost to Baylor by 30.
They got beat. No, they got
beat
today.
They got beat by a bad mid-major team.
Yeah, they did not.
What was Eric Stevenson's line?
Was it today, Luke?
4 points.
I'm not. It might have been today. I know they lost big recently. They lost big in a Pac-12 game.
I'm gonna
today.
Find this and get back to you.
All right. Well, we got big rivalry in Ohio between Xavier and Cincinnati. Xavier's 5-0 right now. They're a little bit shaky.
Wait, Xavier's in Ohio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cincinnati
could have fooled me.
How do you not know Xavier's in Ohio?
I would have guessed
New
Jersey.
You know Oakland is in Michigan.
Okay,
this is a great point.
Alex is. I'm not going to go on the tangent of why I know that. Too much work.
Okay, Washington lost to UC Riverside.
Ooh, yikes.
Eric Stevenson, 31 minutes, ooh. 6 points.
Okay, Eric.
Big game.
Big E.
What was his shooting from the field? If he exited out of it, it's fine.
Big E did not play well, so that's all you need to know.
Sky's blue.
Listen, we're gonna track Eric Stevenson all year. We promise to bring you his stat lines every game. Until he's a lottery pick. That's our promise.
Wow. Good Lord.
Any other games to note on Sunday, or should we wrap this bad boy up?
Not really anything too notable.
All right. It's fun having the whole gang back today, honestly.
Yep.
When all 4 of us are on here, it flows
it
better.
Yeah,
it
you does. Know, me, Charlie, Wesley, Troy, Aaron.
Anyways,
we got the whole gang.
We got the whole gang.
Come on.
Make sure to follow us on social media, all platforms, Instagram, Twitter. I'm sorry, Made Merch Podcast. _ in between every word.
Just
it's just a little inside joke. Sorry about this. We A little bit of inside joke that none of us can keep it contained.
Until next time,
it's mid-March.